And here we are. This is the Working Title Show with Zach Sams, and we are back. All right, all right. We are back. It's the Working Title Show with Zach Sams, and it's kind of our summer hiatus. It's kind of what I call this time, right?
Or everybody we've tried to book isn't called.
Well, it's just, you know, and we're all surprised it's hot, you know, because we're from Texas and we're not used to this type of heat. You know, it always surprises me when it gets hot. Does it surprise you when it gets hot?
All right, but I got to know, like, are y'all, like, speaking of the heat and people not dealing with it well, like, are you just a baseball guy? Are you watching?
I've been on my best dad's baseball life.
Are you watching the World Cup?
Yeah, surprisingly, it's funny. We were on a trip. I knew the World Cup was a big deal when I was in a random Chili's in D.C. And mostly women who just local people out for not particularly, you know, dazzling dining. People are super into the games.
Americans in D.C.?
America's really? Just regular people. So I do think that it's had
a major impact, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People are watching games. I mean, I was at Javier's on Wednesday night when the Americans were playing for a business dinner. Place was empty. I've never been in there when it's empty.
No kidding. Yeah, it's...
I went to a bar for the first time in about a decade.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah, I know. But
the first time in a decade. I find that very hard to believe.
Which side of that is a bad idea? To go to a bar at 45 years old or to not?
To not.
Oh, well, that's just not my scene these days. Oh, and gosh. I was the oldest guy by about a decade. But I was there we wanted to find some big TVs to watch the game. Couldn't have been a more depressing place to go. What, like?
Well, your bar's closed down, right, at Lakewood Country Club, so you're kind of out, right?
Well,
so you
it's had a to golf
go,
course.
You had to go slum it with one of the.
They probably didn't show the world
regular
up
bars.
There.
Yeah, they probably exactly. Yeah,
it's a bummer too because it was really exciting up until us losing to Belgium. But prior to that game, it was pretty cool.
Now we don't have a dog to fight. We don't have Canada.
I'm rooting for Norway.
Mexico.
I like the Viking guy, Eklund. He's awesome.
Holland, whatever his name is. Yeah. Dude's a stud. He's 6'4".
I like him so much. I know what his name is.
It's kind of hard to read. Speaking of spelling, there's a lot of vowels in their names.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
Well, some of their letters have like lines through them and stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of trickery.
Yeah. I'm not reading that too good.
And then you had Cape Verde almost beat Argentina. Like, I don't know if y'all watched that game, but that, like, those guys are heroes.
Wasn't that Egypt that had him down?
That was, again, that is the next round.
Yeah, Egypt almost.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, Egypt. Man, that's a... Anyway.
Well, we got to get back on track there. We got to talk some real estate.
The last time...
Real estate is a year-round sport.
Yes.
It is a year-round
sport. That's true.
But yeah, so
not in the summertime. The real estate is dead.
Well, it's still happening in the summertime, but people are few and far between.
They're making deals in Aspen.
Exactly.
Right. You say that, but we're much busier than we have been in some summers. I mean, like it's typically July is a horrible month.
Yeah,
and we're really busy. Like I actually think people are feeling better about things across various asset classes, and I'm maybe optimistic we're going to close the year strong.
Well, I would say the same. And I wanted to talk to Shay about this as well. And, you know, we probably should introduce our guest.
We should.
But Shay, good buddy, Shay, by the way. Shay Byers, Byers Residential, J Street Companies. Huh. Tell you, Shay, I can't even keep them all straight anymore. When I first met you, you had one gig and now you have like five. So tell us... List your vertically integrated companies and what y'all are doing for us.
It's fun. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
We are good friends here, but I just want to start off with recapping where we started is most everybody that's a really good lead to have here as a guest is probably in Aspen. So the dogs are here. Shay's here. Shay's the only one left.
No, you're the loyal friend that says I'll come do it, I'll be there.
In all fairness, I've tried to have you on a couple times, and timing and dates didn't work out. And this week I shot you a message. You happen to be in town and available, and here we are. And actually, I wasn't even sure Dallas was going to be here, and then he showed up. So, like, we got the whole band together here. Strong group. Great. Yeah.
Strong group. No, thanks for having me. Seriously, guys. You know, we play golf together and hang out together, but being able to come on and, you know, see you guys on the live feed always on LinkedIn. I'm watching you guys, so pretty nervous to be here today.
But, well, good. You and my mom and your wife. And,
yeah, we got you.
Yeah. People, man. I mean, neighbor.
If you want to go, you know, moderately viral, this place to be.
Yeah, well, yeah. Here we are. Well, there's nothing too interesting about my story, but I'll tell it in a real quick summary. There's two companies that I'm an owner in, and it's J Street Property Services, 30-year-old management company. And then there's Byers Residential, which is the new company, open about 30 days. So 30 years and 30 days. Actually, a little longer, more like since January 1st.
It's the Shea 30 for 30.
Yeah. So yeah. Long story short, during the Great Recession, I moved to D.C. and I needed a job. I was going to grad school at GW, and I bumped into a company that was owned out of Dallas called J Street. And the owner was a Texas guy. And through the grapevine and good luck, maybe a God story I could tell another day, but I got connected to the owner and I went in for an interview, and they hired me on the spot to be a office broker, which I had no experience doing in a town that I didn't even know where the streets, how they were numbered or lettered. I had been there 30 days, found the job, 2010, 2009. And that was J Street Property Services. And they managed a lot of real estate all over the DMV, and they had an office leasing group. I got hooked on there, and 6 years later, I moved back to Dallas, and the owner of J Street.
The guy that hired you.
The guy that hired me, he said, hey, I want to back you because I know you've always wanted to be a developer, and I want you to come back to Texas, and we're going to start a development company. We're going to build apartments. And I went, man, it's my dream. And so
good timing.
It was perfect timing. It was 2014-ish. Yeah. And by 17, we had a company going and running, and it took 3 years to kind of figure out what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. But I'm a product of somebody really betting on me, and that was Stan Ferentz. And I wouldn't be here without him and his family. And so we just kind of, we made it up and we figured it out. And so J Street went from just being a management company, and a lot of the operations were all in DC, but finally we created something in Dallas. And that's when I came to know you, Zach. And yep. We've developed 4 projects now, not a lot, but we've done 4 really nice projects. And recently we've spun out Byers Residential. So I bought J Street from the founder, and he's retired now, Stan's retired. And I brought in a partner, Tommy Wells, great guy who you guys know.
Yeah, Tommy's great.
You guys got to meet Tommy. We're yin and yang. But Tommy's running the management company now, and I'm running Byers Residential. And what we're trying to do, Dallas, is less of the ground up, because ground up is really tough right now and doesn't really pencil, especially when you can buy a brand new deal for 10, 15% discount.
It's mostly leased up or all the way leased up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's leased up, or maybe you have a, you know, no value. So you take construction risk off the plate and you go do that. So we got a group now that I've hired a guy named Tanner Mosley, who came out of a shop here in Dallas, a great kid. And he's now helping me on acquisition side, and I've got Daniel Wheeler helping me in the development side.
I think it's interesting too. There's some acquisitions happening where people are, you know, maybe there's an unfinished part of a project, maybe they're buying an older asset, they're tearing part of it down and building new, or cannibalizing. We got somebody at Fort Worth that's cannibalizing the clubhouse to get a new, more units in that space. Cause people don't care about that.
Wow,
you know, cool. So I think this is an interesting space that allows some creativity for developers to, you know, get a good existing asset at maybe a little bit lesser price, where there's some values and some meat left on the bone.
That's what we're leaning into, guys. We're leaning into we're betting on DFW. We're betting on Texas. And, you know, rents are flat. Expenses are up. Concessions are up. Everything's bad right now. But we've seen a lot of good traffic and leasing activity this spring and summer. And
why are rents remaining flat? I just feel like, supply. I mean, you know, it was the interest rates going up in the late part of 22 really just grounded multifamily to a halt at that point. But I figured they would I figured they would have started creeping back up by this point. What is it? Is it just deliveries?
Well, you still got people that are, you know, you delivered a bunch of homes, and some of those now have unintentionally become build to rent.
Yeah.
And so people that wanted out of, let's say I'm, you know, starting to have maybe two promotions, I'm late 20s, early 30s, I finished an MBA or whatever, they normally could have bought a home, but now I don't have enough, I'm not making enough, interest rates are higher, insurance also crushed people. Yeah. So they're renting a house. So they're not renting new apartments. There's sort of these confluence of different factors that have pushed that on. And then you got people with concessions. I think they're young, smart renters who are hopping from concession to concession because they got a buddy with a truck.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But I mean, the in-migration really hasn't slowed down here. I just figured we'd have absorbed more and started to see this tick up, but you just really haven't seen them tick up
yet. Just telling you, get to the northern suburbs and, it's what's Texas. There's no rivers, mountains, streams in the way. It's cotton fields.
Yeah, so you just keep going.
And you just keep going. And they, the cities let us run wild. I mean, I'm part of the problem too. I built out there. And at the end of the day, you just built too much product. That's the story. There's just too much product on the ground.
Much worse in Austin.
Even worse there. But to Zach's point, why are we buying existing is because we believe that supply is going to be absorbed, because Dallas-Fort Worth is just a different, people just don't get it. I mean, Yall Street and JP Morgan and everything that's happening here.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily my renter, but it's creating jobs, activity, and it's just an economic engine.
We're number one in distribution. We're like number two in AI. We're number three nationally in aerospace. You know, there's all these Fortune 500, 1,000
finance,
there are all these. You know, depending on kind of what I see this with my college age daughter and my son getting ready to go to college, you sort of specialize as, we're all interested in real estate. Then there's this, my daughter looks like she's going to be in the banking tribe. Okay. So we kind of concentrate on the segments that interest us, but we have a lot of excellence. Look at how many great, higher education opportunities there are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Incredible.
That we don't really think about.
But we're talking about all reasons that, I mean, we just said 8 out of the top 10 cities fastest growing in the country are in Texas. So with all that growth, I just figured, it's all supply and demand, right? So you're basically saying between 2014 and 2022, we put so much supply on the ground that it's still delivering, it's still four decades of rent growth.
So I
would say probably one of the main reasons I was able to sell to private equity 4 or 5 years ago was the run up I had for a decade of doing multifamily zoning cases and storage. Both of those things boomed at the same time.
And you hit it.
Oh my God, yeah. I hit it. Just, oh, so great. So yeah. great. You know, now.
Don't you own it again now?
Yeah, now I'm back out of my own.
I love that. That's my favorite story. You sold it at the top and then you bought it back. Yeah.
So, but there's not a lot of multifamily zoning. If it is, it's kind of like some nuanced piece or something. Or I think it's interesting. There's some people that are doing 100 unit deals instead of 300.
Well, Shay's a developer, just said he's switching to acquisition. So if that's happening, that means the development has to be slowing down. Starts have to be slowing down. So the absorption and then the rent growth has to be right around the corner, right?
What's your criteria? What are you looking for? If you like number of units, stuff like that.
You can't tell the secret sauce.
Everybody knows it. But
well, I mean, if somebody out there wants to bring him a deal.
I mean, I'm going to tell everybody what the hard part is. It's equity right now. It's no secret. This equity is so very hard. So investors, so what's happened is, in my opinion, in my 300 conversations with capital this year alone, the institutionals, most of them are in the deals that are all hung up. They don't have an exit ramp. And they're waiting for their exit ramp so they can cycle capital. And then the allocators aren't being allocated their capital because their capital that's upstream to them isn't seeing the returns that the allocators are trying to allocate into. So you've got this like weird log jam of like bad deals, unfortunately, that aren't making any money, and there's no exit. So,
is this equity for existing or equity for developer? Either or.
Either or, both. It's so very hard. So, what am I looking for? Like on a development deal, if it doesn't pencil to close to like a 7 yield on cost going in, you don't even pick up the phone. And if it's not in a major MSA, definitely don't pick up the phone. Like, you can't go to Longview and build a 6.5 deal right now.
So you're not looking for garden style in Longview or, but no. Like, if it was a Gerben,
Gerben deal in
Mansfield
growing,
But the problem is there's been so much built that the cities all had jumped to. They have no knowledge of what rents are. We're ready for, not surface park deal. We want structured parking. Yeah, well, your rents don't even get close to that.
Yeah,
So we have, even where you think you can find a deal that works, it doesn't work because cities don't operate in the market. They operate on theory or preference. That's a dangerous way to practice real estate.
I'm the retail guy that they always want Nordstrom's or Neiman Marcus.
Right. They tell you we want more sit down dining and they've had 4 closed because they don't eat out enough.
Or Mansfield will not do drive throughs.
Right.
Guess what? Now they will do drive throughs. For 7 years, I'd knocked my head against the wall on a 50-acre piece of land that we wouldn't do drive throughs. And now the next guy at the bottom has a better relationship. And guess what?
What's the negative on a drive-through for a city? I don't understand.
All these cities think somehow Texas is going to be walkable. I'm not going to go walk today.
It's the moniker that, you know.
It's 102 degrees out. I'm driving 100 yards.
Yeah, but it's like fast food. It's just the brands that they think are going to tarnish their city. That they're like, well, we'll let you do a Chick-fil-A, but we don't want the other stuff.
Right.
So
they don't want to oppose
planning. And look,
they want sit-down dining where they feel like it's going to be nicer and people are going to.
Have Texas cities chasing sales tax dollars as a way to health.
Yeah.
And that is not good. That's not good governance. It doesn't work. That's a strategy that might have worked in the 70s. But you want to have, a prosperous city, distribution, AI, data. Data manufacturing, those are going to provide a lot of tax base. Multifamily, those provide a lot of tax base. We've talked on the show before, the city in the metroplex with the highest density per capita is multifamily is University Park. It also has homes that are valued at an average price of more than $3 million. So when cities say, we don't want more multifamily because we want more expensive houses, no, that the data says that those things are mutually exclusive. Mm. So we still have a big problem about perception, about what people don't use their market brain. They work on preference way too much. And it hurts, getting deals done.
Yeah, I think they use the argument of, it's going to somehow hurt housing prices by building a multifamily. But I think it's more pernicious than that. It's those people.
That's what it is.
Well, that brings up that.
And they fail to see that if you look at what the young professional, well-educated person that's renting in your community, they have more expendable tax dollars to go to dinner, but they also then, maybe they choose your community. They start going to church there, they make friends there, then they locate there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they aren't living there to begin with, you have no chance probably to get them.
Yeah, it's a bridge from a renter to a homeowner.
Right. And Irving, you see cities, Grand Prairie's done better with that. You see people who are doing that. I started as a renter and I became an owner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I ended up staying in Dallas.
Yeah.
I rented an uptown and went to the nearest housing development to buy a house, M Streets. That was the closest, still close to my home. Like, you make a really good point is where I went to church, where I went to eat, where I went to hang out with my friends. Like, that was all local.
And then on the back
end, I did not want to move to Frisco.
The back end of that, you have, that's why your very successful continuing care communities, they're the back of that. Oh, I've went to whatever church. They don't want to move out to the suburbs.
They want to still go in retirement.
They want to still be like where the tradition era is on Lovers. I think Perlman did a great job. That was an old, bad apartment complex. Been replaced with something's great. All those people you draw from Lake Highlands and Lakewood and Park Cities of people that I can go to the same church, I can go to the same doctor. It didn't make them change their life. Mm-hmm.
We talked and you wrote an article about the state bill with the
840.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was reading something just the other day about that I guess it's not having the effect that we thought it would because these cities are fighting.
They're misbehaving.
Yeah.
Irving says, oh, well, it must be 8 stories. There's no multifamilies allowed, but our minimum is 8 stories.
Yeah.
Or in Frisco, you know, it's only allowed in industrial. They've jacked with it. And I expect and I hope that they get, you know, when my kids misbehave, they got in trouble. That's what the legislature is going to have to do with cities is they're going to have to show them we pass this for real. I mean,
how does the legislature penalize a city for not for their misbehavior?
It doesn't. Well, they'll probably come in and they needed to clarify that when they wrote those rules. They thought people would follow. And some cities are like, look at Dallas. Dallas, Mesquite, Garland, those are cities that understood that there's a will to have more housing. They're really participating. I mean, I hit City of Dallas pretty hard.
Some cities are taking it and running with it. Other ones are finding ways to.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's just because of those people. Even though most people live in an apartment some time in their life, it's like when you move into a house, all of a sudden, I'm too good for anybody in an apartment.
Right. Well, it's also, it gave some of these cities a get out of jail free card, you know, where they could say maybe they wanted to let apartments in, but they didn't want to tell their constituents that they did.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so now.
Because they know they needed
great
it.
Point.
Yeah.
Great point. I think some cities have played along with that. We've seen sites come up for sale, but it's felt more like a. The seller believes that their site is actually worth more than it is. I haven't seen anything really make sense that's come.
So all the sellers are like, yes, now,
this is a big windfall for us.
Right.
We're going to kill it.
We just 2X'd our property.
But it's landing in a time where land values are under a lot of pressure right now because developers can't make the deal pencil to begin with.
Because construction costs are so high.
Construction costs and interest rates and back to the I always look at the operation side. I mean, construction costs, bricks and sticks are bricks and sticks, whether they're built, you know, at the Galleria or they're built out in a farm, you know, out in Salina somewhere, it's bricks and sticks. I look more at like, what is the trend of rent growth? What is the trend of OPEX? You know, how much does it cost to operate this property? And, you know, what I'm looking at is from the execution side, a little bit less from, and the dirt price is usually less than 20% of the overall project cost anyways. If you're in a good market, I never really looked that hard at dirt, but right now, free dirt doesn't even work.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
What causes one property's OPEX to be, you know, this much more than another? Is it when it was built versus
insurance, design, how it's staffed, how big it is, you know, how many people you need at the property, you know, your headcount, your people, your management side. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the property management background, so I'm always looking at how is the project staffed. How can we be very efficient? How can we deliver a phase two without having the staff both phases full?
Makes sense.
You know, those sorts of things really create value and drive long-term NLI growth.
Do you find that good management creates people where it's stickier, people stay longer?
Oh, you don't God. Turn. J Street's moniker is we build community where people work and live. And if you can build community where people legit, and it sounds like fairy dust, but it's not. But if you come home to an apartment community and you know your neighbor and you can call your neighbor from work and say, somebody just delivered my Amazon package to my front door. I just need you to, you know, take it in the house so it doesn't get jacked from my porch. You have neighbors that care and love you and know you. And that starts at the property. You can use any name brand property management company you want, NASCAR sticker it, all the best acronyms, doesn't matter. What matters is who the hell is at your property running the day-to-day, building community with your residents, and who's that regional that's overseeing it to make sure that's done properly. So development deals are great, but that's why I think we can effectuate change the most, not to take it back to buyer's residential, but I think we have, this guy taught me this word, I'm gonna sound smart, alpha, because we have a management company. We have really smart people at J Street that really help us make good investment decisions on the acquisition side. That's why I want to buy property, because I really believe in the brain trust at J Street. And when I say, hey, we're looking at this deal right here, I send our people there and they go, yeah, here are the 5 reasons why you don't do that deal. Or here are the reasons why we do like it. That, again, if you're really trying to create value for your investor, you need to know the property. And there's a good chance that somebody at J Street knows the property that we're trying to buy in DFW.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I'm not trying to buy it whatever, in Tulsa. He goes,
I don't know it.
I don't know Tulsa.
Right.
I don't know Tulsa.
Plenty of opportunity here.
There's plenty to do right here, and so that's why we're really leaning into
We're only like in maybe the fifth or sixth inning in terms of, you know, we're at 8 million. We're going to have 12.5 million. You know, by 2100, we're going to be the largest metropolitan area in the United States.
Crazy.
So I know that's a long way off, but by 2050, you know, we're going to be substantially larger, 4 more million people. So that there is, you know, I mean, I remember growing up that, you know, I mean, the tollway ended at Forest. That's the end of the edge of the earth.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and then I can remember as a kid working for my dad, putting up zoning signs on Frankfurt. There were Park City's families, I remember, who had like a bird hunting ranch on Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And it'd be like their weekender home or like Highland Village. They're on the lake there. That's why it's Highland Park. It's called Highland Village.
Yep.
And so I remember going out to Frankfurt and putting up these zoning signs and coming home and like, these guys are stupid. Nothing's going to get built. I mean, I was 16. I mean, I can drive, so I'm knowledgeable. And I mean, now you get to Frankfurt and you think it's in town.
Oh, yeah. Very in town.
You know, I try to like temper my I'm from here because, you know, you look at West Allis. If we had had this show 15 years ago, well, we just would have been Ray's Gun Shop. That's it. And now there's a thriving area. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, there's tremendous opportunity in Southern Dallas and Ellis County. Look at Waxahachie. It's really booming.
Yeah. But Midlothian.
Midlothian is, yeah.
Go back to this, what he said earlier, right before we came on live, was we used to have a brain drain. I'm going to use his words of when you graduated from wherever you grew up in Dallas and you graduated from SMU, TCU, A&M, whatever, you would likely probably go. I mean, there were jobs here. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of folks fled to
DC,
Chicago,
New York,
Boston,
LA, Miami, where, I don't know, wherever they go.
One of the big cosmopolitan cities.
Well, you had to prove your chops there. That showed. That's right. That's where you showed. I'm a step above because I can go and cut it in the big city. You know, I mean, like New York, if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. Now in Dallas, if you can make it here, you know, we still haven't had that Goldman effect. I still believe when they get here, it's coming. So we're, you know, that's why I think we're like in the fifth inning. Maybe we're about to get to the sixth inning. You know, we're still early. So it is a little like sluggish right now. There's a lot of there's not as much multifamily going on, maybe storage, but things are still really good. I mean, it's much better, I suspect, than being in Tulsa.
So I got a college-age kid, right, at A&M. He's interning with us this summer. It's a really cool story. And when we were looking for a school for him to go to, he went to J.J. Pierce, you know, and he was like, I want to go to a big SEC school. I've never had like big time football. I want to know what that. I want
J.J. Pierce doesn't play big time football. Ray Childress.
No. He's talking about college.
He's like college. Yeah. Right? He wants to see like a big time college program. And so we looked around and ended up, he landed on A&M and he had scholarships at great schools in the SEC. I won't name them all, but Alabama was one of them. Full ride. And he got $0 to go to A&M. And he picked it for one reason. It wasn't me that coached him up on that. He's like, I guess if I went to Alabama, I'd probably take a job somewhere like maybe Atlanta, because that's where probably everybody's from. But I want to be in Dallas long term, Dad. So I think I'm going to go to A&M because that was the only school on my SEC list with a big time football program. And it's close to home, and I'll probably get a job in DFW.
That's why my daughter's heading to Texas.
Well, think of all the college universities that this is their number one alumni base: Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. I mean, if you just think about it, you know, and then others were second, LSU. You know, if you look at that number or those numbers, it's staggering. That this is, and most of those have full-time college recruiters and offices in Dallas-Fort Worth because they want our kids, but our kids are still coming home. That's the thing that's made a difference is my daughter's at Wake Forest, and when she went there, she was thinking, well, Charlotte, New York, they're better. And now she's like, oh, I want to be in Dallas. She has friends from Charlotte and from New York. They want to be in Dallas. Yeah. That's one of the great things to hear. So they're going to be living in an apartment.
That's it. there's going to be housing formation, right? And they're going to do the Tyler Isbell deal. They're going to, you know, they're going to move into their first apartment, where in Uptown or the Village or somewhere. And then they're going to take their next step and buy their first house. And because we have a propensity to keep building homes, and then B, although it's not cheap here anymore, we still have a lot of cotton fields to build in. There's going to be, there's still the starter home. There's still the opportunity for a young family. They're not buying as much as they used to. Everybody's looking, everybody. A lot more flexibility is what we hear. And that's why we think apartments just, we're not saying it's for everybody. I mean, I live in a home, but I lived in apartments a long time. And I just think that.
You were seriously considering going back to a condo.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of the amenities.
As a matter of fact,
I don't want to mow a yard anymore.
Well, it doesn't hurt to rent for a while either and just figure out where you want to be.
That's right.
You know, you might think you want to live there. You rent there for a little while and then you're like, you know what? I don't want to live. I want to live, you know, maybe I'm over here. Or, you know, I think the crazy thing about Dallas-Fort Worth versus, you know, other places that are have a coastline or a mountain range or something to one side of them is like, we're getting so crazy big. Now the Metroplex is like, goes from like,
want to guess how many municipalities there are in the DFW area?
I'd say counties, I think is 15, but I don't know how many.
185 municipalities.
Wow.
So it's a huge region.
I mean, Rockwall to Weatherford.
Yes, it's crazy. The other thing too,
to Sherman.
We have a lot of good to excellent public school districts that have had really good facility improvements since the late 90s to now. So there's a lot of really good public school infrastructure and plenty of space, you know, enrollment's a little bit down. So, you know, if you're raising a young family, this is still a great place to even to relocate to, because I don't have to do private school.
That's exactly right.
And it's maybe even if it's a little more expensive, I don't have state income tax. I don't have private school. We are a very safe community largely. And I just think there are all these things, and maybe we're all too in it, because we've seen it's not as good as it was 4 years ago or something, you know, but relative to like when we worked in the recession, you know, I mean, this is a pretty good economy compared to like 2007 or 8.
I mean, what if you're just a normal middle class person, you move from LA to here? I mean, you've got to be thinking,
pay raise.
Pay raise. I own my home. The schools are great. There's no crime.
That was it. Remember the column? I know you liked it. The one I wrote about last year was the first time more Texans moved to Oklahoma ever than before. Yes.
Chasing value.
Yeah. And they're moving to Oklahoma City primarily, a little bit in Tulsa, but mostly to Oklahoma City, because if you're, you know, let's say I'm a school teacher and maybe a police officer or something.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot more buying power there.
Yeah.
And so no, I thought that was good, but that's fine. We can afford a little bit of loss to our Okie friends.
I had a friend that's a realtor in Southlake, and she had tons of people coming from California to move here. And they would say like, okay, I want to, you know, 3.2 million is kind of my range. And she'd start showing them these 20,000 square foot homes. And they were like, why are you showing us these houses that are so big? And she's like, you said you wanted a $3 million home. They're like, oh, no. We just assume that's the price. And she's like, no, that's like $1.5 million.
No, there's a lot of value that's going to continue to draw people to the region. Now, I don't know that's going to be true for retired folks. I'm not sure Texas is going to end up being as good for the retired, particularly if you're a homeowner, or our property taxes are so high, and insurance. Yeah. That is one question I had. I used to never, ever be involved in a project where when I find out it might die because the zoning can't happen or I can't find the equity. And I hear guys trying to buy assets now, and we couldn't find insurance for the thing.
Insurance is a huge headwind. Although the last couple of years, last year for sure, we've seen some good news, some green shoots for sure. I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, we were paying like for new product, $800 a door. I mean, I don't know what that sounds like to the rest of the world, but that's a lot of money for insurance. Now it's new products more like $500 a door, maybe a little bit better depending on whether or not you have a master insurance program or not. But the 70s and like the 80s product that we're trying to buy, Dallas, Very tough. Really? Yeah. It's got aluminum wiring. If it's got flat roofs,
asbestos risk on the back end.
Lead based paint. I mean, they find 100,000 reasons for it to be very, very, very expensive.
I mean, so, if something has asbestos, do you even try to value add that? Or
everything just has asbestos.
Well, yeah, if it's built in the '70s, it definitely does.
You can't.
A lot of the '80s stuff we don't. You know, right. It doesn't have it. But yeah, insurance is a huge headwind. Property taxes, in my opinion, has always been the biggest headwind here, because it's just.
It's killer.
We were recently looking for a tenant all over the country, and the triple nets here in Texas, especially Dallas-Fort Worth, were in a lot of times a third of the total gross lease annually. And then you'd look in Chicago, and if you could get outside of Cook County, like on the outskirts, you're doing pretty good. If you got into Cook County, explode your budget. You go to Phoenix, your triple nets are like $1.50 all in versus $15.
Well, we also have a history of our school districts not participating and our, like the Dallas County Community College or community college districts, they don't participate in incentives typically. They're like, oh, you can do something with the city. Hmm. Well, that's not who the biggest taxing entity is. So we you know, and I've always thought that the school districts would win. They may take a beating for a few years, but a better product equals more taxes. So I don't know I worry about that our property taxes are so high. Sure, we don't have a state income tax, but our property taxes and the insurance, those are two things that have made
Outpacing rent growth by how much, I'm sure.
Oh, God. Well, right now it's sort of level, because now the property taxing districts start to realize that, these values that we've been levying against these owners maybe aren't what they used to be, because we're not seeing the rent growth. But it's still a fight. It's a fight every year. Then with the Fugazi thing, with the whole PFC, HFC, and the traveling, that thing really created a lot of muddy water for multifamily owners, and thinking it was a parachute, a lifeline.
It was like a lottery was.
And we never took the cheese on that deal, thank God. But
those are going to be hard projects to sell probably for other people to understand.
Property taxes are just tough. But there's a lot of other good things about, DFW, Texas in general, that just make it worth that headwind and understanding that
Well, we're almost out of time, so let's end on that. If you were, talking to one of these folks for equity on one of your deals, what are you telling them right now, about this area, about why these are good deals, why you believe in them?
Yeah.
What does that sound like?
Yeah, I would be telling our equity that we're seeking was, we're leaning into and convicted to the fact that DFW is an outlier in its economic production, and people come here and they don't move. Mm-hmm. House formation is, capital is forming here. House formation is growing here. And we believe that we're buying basis right now. We are buying an opportunity where you kind of have to hold your nose going in, because the returns don't feel good, back to the low, negative rent growth or flat rent growth and OPEX up. But if you have an appetite for buying basis and hanging around the hoop and being part of the rising tide, that will come when this product is absorbed, there's no better market in the country, I'm convicted to that, than DFW's. It's a no-brainer. So there are pockets, right? And you got to be smart about your pockets and what you're buying and where you're buying it. So you can't just broad brush it and say, if I buy it in Dallas, it's fine, or buy it in Fort Worth. No. And that's our expertise. So that's what we know, every corner, right? We grew up here, from here. And so we lean into that we're going to buy the right product, and we're going to buy it right now at the right time.
Yeah. Well, the rent growth data point's not there yet, but there. The fastest, 8 of the 10 fastest growing in Texas, and I think 5 of them were in the DFW Metroplex.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly the number, but I mean, enough to say, that's crazy.
Look.
It's crazy to have that many cities in one MSA. They're the fastest growing in the country.
Well, it's just crazy. Think too of if you look at the top 100 cities in the country, it's easy to kind of brush past Mesquite. That's big, 300,000. Garland, we've got all these pretty large cities that people just say, oh, that's a suburb. it would be, you know, like Arlington, yeah. You know, would be one of the largest cities in most states.
And Oklahoma would probably be the biggest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so that's something I found with folks from the, because you have people come in the office.
That might be a good article.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I need one. You know, we'll have people come in and they'll say Dallas, and I'll always ask, do you mean the city of Dallas? They're like, well, I don't know. I said, I don't think you do based on what you said.
No.
What you're saying to me is you want to be in Dallas, Fort Worth, the region, in the metroplex. Yeah. The city of Dallas is a very different animal.
Almost none of us say Dallas and mean the city of Dallas, even us that live here.
I know, but we all know what to listen for.
We know we're talking.
I just try to make sure to explain to people that are coming here that, and even if they said, no, we think we do. I said, well, do you mean Uptown? Yeah, Uptown. I said, well, that's a different development code than the rest of the city of Dallas. They're like, how could that be? I was like, you know,
well, we're lucky to have the suburbs around Dallas that people, you know, misname as Dallas that aren't Dallas, because if it was all Dallas, I think it'd be a very different story, because they've jacked shit up for so long that if we didn't have Farmers Branch and Plano and Garland and all these other Richardson, there wouldn't be shit. Or it'd be a bunch of different story.
It does help.
Yeah.
It does help.
Because Fort Worth's opposite. Fort Worth city limits are massive.
Yeah.
You know.
Here's another good fact. The two cities with the most of the top 20 in the U.S., the two cities with the most undeveloped land are Fort Worth number one, Dallas number two.
No shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, but a good plug for you is back to the municipality story. How many of them?
185.
The reason you need a guy like this guy here, the zoning specialist, because there's
so
a
many
different set of rules.
And they all have different personalities. And some of they're also up and down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I did a project in Hearst. Like, when? Oh, it's totally different. They got a new city mayor, didn't manager, got a different mayor. Council's turned over. You know, like really, I mean, that's what we will have to arguments sort of in our staff does about, like, where is Keller right now? Because that's what matters when you're doing a zoning case.
Right.
How you know, it's like
Collin County is a perfect example.
I mean,
Collin County's city councils, mayors, fire marshals, all of those people are not the same people.
That's exactly right.
And
right.
It is a very different climate.
Well, like in Plano, you know, it's now becoming, they got a lot of older people, a lot of empty nesters live there. You know, and I'll use my line. There's things people don't like. Change and the way things are. They're mad about how it is, but they don't want it to change.
Maybe we should do a show on the top 10 most friendly development municipalities.
Oh, in that'd DFW be good. Right now. That's that'd a great topic.
Yeah. Maybe we could do a reveal. Who do you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
You obviously would be the referee of that. Because
Okay, good. I'll work on you. That's my homework.
I love all municipalities, just saying, for the record.
Jay loves all the municipalities, and he wants to talk to you.
I need to be Switzerland right now.
Start thinking about a mayor or a city councilman at whatever municipality we're thinking of. We'll have to talk offline about that, but
yeah,
that'd be a good guess.
Got to be a good show.
Yeah. It would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could invite the top three on. Or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And make them argue with each other about who's the best.
Yeah.
I bet they'll be nice to each other.
Yeah, they will.
Because the ones that are like that, they believe in the rising tide.
Yeah.
You know, they want the other cities to do well.
They believe in that large seats.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
That's
very rude. Thanks for coming on,
yeah,
Shay.
Yeah, for sure. Good show. Thank you. Really interesting. Really interesting. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Working Title Show. We will see you next time.